All right, guys, you are Locked On Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today we are talking about why the Falcons would possibly prefer Trey Lance over the other quarterback options, as well as hear from NFL insider Ian Rappaport and ex-Falcons general manager Thomas Dimitroff on what and who they think the Falcons will take at the top of this year's draft.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong on Twitter at FalcFans, and of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today's episode of Locked On Falcons is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. So, guys, today's episode is a mock draft Monday, and we'll be focusing mostly on sort of the possibility of the Falcons taking Trey Lance at the top of the draft. I'll be giving you my own mock draft, at least a four-round mock draft of who I think the Falcons could take in the first four rounds of this year's draft. But primarily, that will give us an opportunity to talk about why the Falcons may prefer Trey Lance over other quarterback options, which is something that you've heard a lot of reports over the last couple of weeks that the Falcons may be leaning towards. And then later in the episode, we'll get into what Ian Rappaport and Thomas Dimitroff, who both made appearances on Rich Eisen's show, podcast, whatever you want to call it, on Friday. And they said some interesting things, and we'll sort of hear some quotes from them and then sort of break it down and talking about Dimitroff's quote unquote insight into the Falcons process and their decision making and whether or not he thinks the team should go for a quarterback and whether or not that quarterback is Trey Lance or Justin Fields. So we'll definitely get into that later today on today's episode. But sort of let's start things off with the mock draft portion of today's Monday episode. And basically, I wanted to do a multi-round mock draft because I know we're limited on how many Mondays we have left before the draft, and I haven't done one yet. And so this probably might be the only one I'll do during this cycle, but we'll see. And I wanted to just kind of throw out, you know, the first couple of rounds. So basically what I did was I basically came up with my own sort of top 200 draft board based off of a couple of various consensus rankings, ran it through the draftnetwork.com's mock draft simulator and just picked the first four rounds of the draft. And here were my picks. And with that fourth overall pick, I had the Falcons taking quarterback Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. In the second round with pick 35, I had them taking edge rusher Jason Owe out of Penn State. In the third round, they were taking safety Jamar Johnson out of Indiana. In the fourth round, they were taking Kendrick Green, the center slash guard from Illinois. So I think all of those picks are relatively realistic, at least in my eyes. And I think that's roughly where some of those guys will probably get picked, but we'll see, give or take, you know, 10 or so spots in the draft. But, you know, all of that was just as an excuse, a lot, really, so that I can talk about the possibility of the Falcons taking Trey Lance at number four. And that's been the buzz that has been building as of late. And months ago on this podcast, we talked about maybe some of the reasons why Justin Fields out of Ohio State would be the preferred option for the Falcons at pick four if they were to take a quarterback off the board. And now that we're here today, it's likely seemingly going to be the Falcons choosing between Lance or Fields. And you could potentially throw Mac Jones into that mix, although I don't know if the Falcons would seriously consider Mac Jones, largely due to the fact that, you know, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are almost definitely going to go 1-2 in this draft. And so those are the three quarterbacks left over. But, you know, I still think Justin Fields is probably the better bet. But back in February, I sort of outlined some of the at least circumstantial evidence why I thought Fields would be the Falcons' preferred option. And the evidence was sort of built around two ideas, neither in particular order, which is the first one being that his local connection, I think, would be certainly a boon for the marketing guys, and also sort of the Ohio State connection. And that matters because teams like New Orleans, Washington, and Baltimore have invested high round picks in Ohio State players in recent years. And that's meaningful because Terry Fontenot with New Orleans Orleans, Kyle Smith with Washington, and Dwayne Jones with Baltimore are presumably the team's top three decision makers in, as far as the draft goes, in their hierarchy within this organization. And they've liked a lot of Ohio State players over the last couple of years. Dwayne Jones specifically was an area scout for the Ravens these past few years in Big Ten country. That was his area where he was scouting. And so you know that he's definitely watched a ton of Justin Fields over these last couple of years. And you look at those three organizations in New Orleans, Washington, and Baltimore, and they seemingly have a high preference for Power Five players, even more so than the Falcons did, despite the fact that Thomas Dimitroff, their former general manager, always talked about how the Falcons preferred big school players. That was a core tenet of their draft philosophy. And even that said, the Saints, the Washington, and Baltimore even more preferred big school players. So, again, that's all circumstantial evidence. At the end of the day, the Falcons, if they choose to draft the quarterback, are going to take the player that they think is the better quarterback. And it's not going to be because of those reasons, but those are potential reasons that could sort of, I guess, sweeten the pot, if you want to say. But let's sort of do the flip side of that and look at the sort of circumstantial evidence that may indicate that they might prefer Trey Lance. And the first thing is scheme fit. And we'll probably wind up talking about that on future episodes of the podcast this week, potentially even tomorrow. And it's the idea that Trey Lance, because of the system that he played in at North Dakota State, may have a smoother transition to the next level, particularly in an offense like what the Falcons are expected to run here under Arthur Smith, where there's a lot of similarities. And so, again, we'll talk about that further on the podcast in the future, so I won't necessarily take a deep dive into that on today's episode. But the second thing I would say is Quincy Avery. And for those that don't know, Quincy Avery is a quote-unquote QB guru that is local to Atlanta, works with a lot of quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson is probably the most prominent client he has. Trey Lance has been the guy he's been working with throughout this draft cycle. And notably, another quarterback that he's worked with in the past was T.J. Yates. And you could certainly call Quincy Avery and T.J. Yates boys. Given that Deshaun Watson connection, given that sort of local, that experience working with one another in the offseason. And notably, T.J. Yates was hired by Arthur Smith as the Falcons' new passing game specialist back in January. You know, what exactly that role entails, I have no idea, but I'm just going to assume it's like an assistant quarterbacks coach where he sort of shares some of the workload with quarterbacks coach Charles London, offensive coordinator Dave Ragone, and of course Arthur Smith in terms of like the team's weekly game planning and whatnot. So we'll see what T.J. Yates's role is within the organization. But it is possible that given that connection that Avery and Yates have, and he's been working with Lance these last couple of months, that, you know, T.J. Yates, you know, Quincy Avery's slipping T.J. Yates some intel, talking about how Trey Lance ticks, how he works, or whatever the case may be. And that's giving T.J. Yates more intel on how Trey Lance ticks, more so than what the Falcons could presumably get from, you know, doing these various Zoom meetings that they're sort of limited to doing this offseason. Now, I say all that knowing fully that it's circumstantial evidence. And really what's going to happen is if the Falcons do decide to pull the trigger on one of these quarterbacks come April 29th, you know, it's not going to be because of what I said. It's going to be because they thought that guy was the best quarterback available for them. But these could be contributing factors as part of that evaluation. In the case of Fields, the 2 years of success that he had playing at a big school against premium competition may give him a bump in the Falcons' eyes, in their decision makers' eyes, than Lance. It basically makes him the idea being that he's a better bet. Or the opposite, which, you know, that big school stuff be darned. And because the Falcons feel like they have a better feel for Trey Lance due to that T.J. Yates, Quincy Avery connection, they love his scheme fit. You know, that's another direction where the Falcons could go. And obviously we'll have to sort of find out these things. And certainly Friday morning when you tune on the podcast on April 30th, you know, we'll have an idea and we'll probably talk about some of these things should either Fields or Lance be the pick. But we don't necessarily know if those two guys will be the pick. And sort of that's where we'll get into the next phase of today's Lockdown Falcons podcast, where we're going to get some insight from Thomas Dimitroff and Ian Rappaport on what the Falcons could do at the top of this draft from their Friday appearances on the Rich Eisen Show. And we'll hear what they have to say, what the Falcons should do with that pick, including whether or not they should be looking for a quarterback and whether that's Trey Lance or Justin Fields. And we'll get into that coming up on today's Lockdown Falcons. But before we get there, guys, I do want to plug the MLB side of the Lockdown Podcast Network, where you can find a daily podcast devoted to your favorite Major League Baseball team, including the Atlanta Braves. Check out the Lockdown Braves podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So you guys know that BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL and March Madness might be over, but NBA, NHL, NASCAR, and FCS college football are all in full swing. And of course, Major League Baseball is back, baby. And whether you had a strong feeling about Hideki Matsuyama at the Masters or not this past weekend, make sure you don't miss out on betting on the next big sporting event. But it's not just sports, because BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, because BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Just head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Again, sign up today at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So you guys know that I have you covered with all the things you need for the Falcons, but what about the rest of sports? Well, host Peter Bukowski has you covered now with the Locked On Today podcast. It's all the sports news that you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So I'm going to play some clips from Rich Eisen's show, and there's over 35 minutes of great insight from both Ian Rappaport and Thomas Dimitroff that you can find fully on the Rich Eisen Show. And I'm going to snip about 6 minutes from it that I thought were the most interesting for this part of the podcast. And, you know, you can hear more on what those guys said by going to the full interview. So, you know, I have to give this disclaimer just in case, you know, NBC Universal or whoever owns the Rich Eisen podcast, you know, comes for me. But, you know, definitely go check out the full interviews for both of those guys. Again, 35 full minutes, and you're only going to get 6 minutes of it. But some of the other topics that aren't going to be covered on today's podcast are what Ian Rappaport thinks some of the other teams are going to do at the top of the draft. You'll get Thomas Dimitroff's thoughts and sort of how big a role Arthur Blank and Rich McKay are going to have on influencing this decision, what he thinks of the decision for the Falcons to restructure Matt Ryan's deal and what that means for them in terms of their draft moves, and sort of what type of offer the team could get if they were willing to trade back, as well as some insight into the 49ers selection one pick earlier before the Falcons. So go check that out. I'll put the YouTube links in the show notes, and we'll get into it. So let's jump into what Ian Rappaport said first.
So we move on to Ian Rappaport to the Falcons. What's their evaluation right now, best you can tell?
So I think a lot of people believe the Falcons are taking a quarterback. I don't know that for sure, but that is what people believe. One, that they didn't end up doing a trade with the 49ers to go from 12 to 4, which is something the 49ers considered. You know, if the Falcons were taking a position player, you might have done that. So people believe they're taking a quarterback. Where I have some questions is they could also be taking Penei Sewell, who is a franchise future left tackle, and that value would make a lot of sense. Like, he could be so good that they say, you know what, we're not getting out of here for anything. You know, could they take Kyle Pitts? Possible. Could they Chase? Probably not. But to me, it seems like it's more Sewell, Pitts, or a quarterback. And I don't know which, but I know that many people who've had the conversations and do this for a living believe that they're taking a quarterback. Whether they are or not, that's what people believe.
What are you hearing about the trade market for that fourth overall pick? What are you hearing about that?
I think there's been some discussions. I mean, the teams that need a quarterback, we kind of know, right? I mean, I would say the Denver Broncos would probably be in the mix of teams that would consider trading up. I think the New England Patriots would be in the mix of the teams that would consider trading up. I just don't know, you know, would the Patriots go from, where are they, 15 to 4? Like, that's a, you know, I don't know. Like, that's a leap.
What about
they go from 15 to 8, though? Maybe.
Now we'll hear from Thomas Dimitroff.
So your best guess right now, Thomas Dimitroff, as the Falcons are going through the do we take a quarterback not named Wilson, Lawrence, and whoever the 49ers choose? Do we take Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase or Penei Sewell to either give Ryan a weapon or protect him or trade out? Best guess, just knowing again on everything that you have been there and done that. You've made a big trade to move up for Julio Jones. You've gone ahead and made big draft choices for this organization. Best guess, has Arthur Blank told everyone in the room what he wants for this pick?
You know what? I don't know if he has. And, you know, again, Arthur's very mindful of that, of not overriding, of course. I would say back to your first question, I mean, there's a lot to choose from. I think at the outset of this year, I thought that they were 100% going to go quarterback. I just really believed that it would have been a perfect transition to have a young quarterback come in there and continue to learn from someone like Matt Ryan, who I have a great deal of respect for. And Rich, I think he can continue to win in this league, and I think he could win a Super Bowl. You have to have the right situation around him, of course. But, you know, with the re-signing or redoing of the contract and securing of Matt there, I think they would still do themselves well by considering a quarterback in that spot. I really do believe, Rich, that they have a lot of, and I say this humbly, but I think there's still a lot of firepower on that offense. And to add another, you know, receiver or something in that vein, I don't know necessarily if that is the most useful. I know Kyle Pitts is not necessarily a receiver, and he's a talented tight end, of course. A lot of people would argue to draft a tight end that high, you know, what would they be thinking, no matter how good he is? And a lot of people thought back in 2011 to trade up for a receiver 21 spots, i.e. Julio Jones, was beyond ridiculous. So you never know how it plays out.
What would you do? Correct. What would you do? Okay, knowing you just choose from Jones, Lance, and Fields, or you got Pitts, Chase, and Sewell. What would you, Thomas Dimitroff, if you were there, be counseling for right now to do with the fourth overall pick?
Well, again, this is not me answering for the Atlanta Falcons, as you well know.
Of course,
me right now, as I look at this, I think it is a very important time to seriously consider, you know, the quarterback position. You claim as an organization, or I would claim as a general manager, to not want to be back in the top five for many years. And this opportunity doesn't come around too soon, but for trading up 21-plus spots, of course, so right. Which is rare. And it may be an organization, once in an organization's lifetime that you would do that. So you have to, I think, really, really seriously look at it. Even having Matt there, and I think Matt could be a massive, important positive to have Matt and another quarterback there working together for years to come.
So put your scout hat on. Which quarterback do you like? What do you think?
How about a guy named Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, no. that would be from the Jones, the Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Troika.
Well, look,
what do you think?
I mean, and those guys are all interesting, of course. And, you know, there's a really cool hometown element to Justin Fields, of course, and a lot of really interesting parts to his game and, you know, his movement, his athleticism, and what he can do on the field and, you know, presence. So I'm going to be really interested to see how he falls into place there. So he's a guy that's really interesting, of course.
So now that you've heard from the mouths of Dimitroff and Rappaport themselves, I'll be back to give you my analysis on what they said to wrap up today's Locked On Falcons. But again, go check out the full content from Ian Rappaport and Thomas Dimitroff on Rich Eisen on YouTube, wherever, whatever platform you're looking for. But in addition to checking that out, you should also check out the best tasting protein bar out there on the market. And of course, I'm talking about Built Bar. Built Bars come in great flavors. They all have 100% real chocolate in them, so they taste just like a candy bar. You can get flavors like coconut almond, peanut butter, cookies and cream, caramel brownie, white chocolate raspberry cheesecake, lemon almond cheesecake. and so much more. And Built Bars aren't just tasty, they're healthy too. They're low in sugar, low in calories, high in protein, high in fiber. I like using them as low-calorie meal replacements for breakfast and lunch. You can use them to give yourself a pre- or post-workout energy boost, however you want. All you have to do is head over to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. So since it is Mock Draft Monday, I want to let you guys know about the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network, which will be airing April 19th through 26th. Check it out. Listen to the analysis from NFL experts like Aaron Freeman, Michael Irvin, Aaron Freeman, Brian Baldinger, and Michael Lombardi, our local experts for every team making trades and picking the next stars for their team. Follow the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So let's talk about what Ian Rappaport and Thomas Dimitroff said. Let's talk about what Rappo said. And I thought what's interesting that he said is he seems to be summarizing what the general feeling is about what the Falcons can do with this fourth overall pick, where there seems to be three paths. One path is taking a quarterback, the best one that they think available. One path is taking a non-quarterback, the best one that they think available. And the third path is trading down. Now, what I think what is interesting to me is, you know, obviously we've talked quite a bit about them taking a quarterback, and we'll get more into Thomas Dimitroff's insight in that. So I won't necessarily spend a lot of time talking about that. In terms of taking a non-quarterback, what's interesting to me is it seemed like Rappaport was talking about more Penei Sewell than Kyle Pitts, where it seems like the sentiment, the popular sentiment as of lately, has been more Kyle Pitts than Penei Sewell. And what I have said, even though I don't think Penei Sewell is as likely a non-quarterback pick as Kyle Pitts is personally, I don't want to sort of close the door completely on Penei Sewell being a possibility for the Falcons. And part of that may simply be, and I think one of the reasons why you see Penei Sewell be as popular a projection among Falcon fans, is he's arguably the safest pick when you just simply look at the positions that these guys play, whether we're talking about quarterback, whether we're talking about a pass catcher like Kyle Pitts. There isn't a rich history of teams knocking it out of the park, taking those two particular positions early in the draft. But offensive linemen, relatively speaking, are relatively safe top 10 picks. So from that perspective, if the Falcons are going to be a little bit more conservative with this new regime from their draft standpoint, that makes sense for Penei Sewell to be their primary target should they go for a non-quarterback with this selection. So that's one of the reasons why, despite there hasn't been that much buzz building for Penei Sewell being the fourth overall selection, I will not be as quick as maybe others would be to just outright dismiss it as a not being a possibility for this four overall pick. Again, I don't think it's likely. I would be certainly on the back burner as far as ranking what I think is the most likely. If I was putting money on it, I wouldn't put that much money on the Falcons taking Penei Sewell, but I wouldn't sit here and absolutely close the door on that. Now, on the subject of trading back, and really with these three pathways, I think the way that a lot of people approach it is like, oh, it's like if we're putting percentages on the likelihood of these three things happening, I think the way that people have expressed it seems to be suggesting like it's a 33%, 33%, 34% chance of them going down one of these three paths. And I don't really think it's really that way. I think, and again, these numbers, I'm pulling these numbers up, and these numbers will have changed over the course of the offseason and could potentially change over the next, you know, 2.5 weeks before the draft as well. But I think, if option A is taking a quarterback, I think the chances of that is not 33%. I think it's closer to 52%, right? And if option B is taking a non-quarterback, then it's probably not 33%, but maybe it's 31%. And option C, trading back, rather than being 33, 34%, I think it's more like 17%. And that's largely due to the fact, going back to what I've talked about over these last couple of weeks with the 49ers trading up with the Dolphins, to me, and as I've outlined before, and will continue to believe, that to me, the most likely candidate for the Falcons to trade back in this draft prior to 2 weeks ago was trading with the 49ers. And once that ship sailed, I think their potential to trade back tanked, right? It doesn't mean that there's zero, you completely shut the door on it, but I don't think it's going to be as likely, which is part of the reason why over the last week or so, I have gone back towards thinking that the Falcons will ultimately choose a quarterback, And, or at least that's a big contributing factor into that. So with that being said, let's talk about Thomas Dimitroff saying that he thinks, you know, the seemingly saying that the Falcons should take a quarterback. And I know some people, when I was talking about this on Friday on Twitter, a lot of people were sort of dismissive of it, like, oh, if Dimitroff wants to take a quarterback, then you definitely don't want to do that. Largely due to this, I think, relatively ridiculous narrative that Thomas Dimitroff was bad at drafting. And I'm not going to sit here and say he was the greatest drafter on the history of the earth, but like his drafts were fine. And it's what's funny to me. And again, I promised myself before this episode that I wasn't going to go on this massive rant talking about Thomas Dimitroff's legacy, because at this point in time, it's relatively irrelevant. But, you know, basically what I will say is that oftentimes you'll see people criticizing Dimitroff's drafting, and they always point out the 2012 and 2017 drafts. And it's like, yeah, those two drafts were bad, but those were 2 out of 13 drafts, right? That basically means like 85% of his drafts were fine to good. And it's just weird to me that like people want to be like he's a bad drafter because he had 2 bad drafts in 13 years. And, you know, it basically boils down that he's a bad drafter because only 1 out of his 6 drafts were bad. 5 out of his 6 drafts range from fine to good. And I just find that weird. And it's like, basically what I'll say, the last thing I'll say is like, you're not really mad at, if you really look at his body of work as 13 years as the Falcons general manager, you're not really mad at his drafting. If you're going to be mad about anything, if you're going to sit here and say he's a bad general manager for anything, it's going to be because of his free agent moves. Now, I'm the first one, I have spent thousands of words and hundreds of hours over the last decade nitpicking the heck out of Thomas Dimitroff's drafts. And I'm not here to sit here and tell people that they shouldn't nitpick and we shouldn't criticize and we shouldn't say, okay, how can we get better here and how could we have done better here? And there's certainly some head scratching moves that he has made from a draft standpoint. But at the end of the day, when you look at his overall body of work and any metric I've ever come across that tries to look at how teams draft, have always sort of shown that at worst, the Falcons in the Dimitroff years were an average drafting team and at best were pretty good at the job. So it's one of those things where I think there's this revisionist history in part due to the fact that we have a tendency to tear down the predecessor in order to build up the current guy, which, you know, we've seen this sort of mentality go with whenever the Falcons changed offensive coordinators, like, oh, well, Kyle Shanahan wasn't that instrumental. And, you know, Steve Sarkisian is going to be great. And then when we fire Steve Sarkisian, oh, Dirk Cutter is very familiar with Matt Ryan. He's going to be great. And you see the same thing. Defensive coordinators, you know, Marquand Manuel is going to fix it. Dan Quinn's going to fix it. Raheem's going to fix it. Dean Pease is going to fix it. And we do this over and over again. It's like, look, you're not mad at Thomas Dimitroff's drafting, guys. That's what I'll say here. Now, you can be mad about his free agent moves. By God, you can definitely be mad about those. But it's not his drafting that's a bad thing. So I think the people that are going to just dismiss it, oh, like Dimitroff doesn't know what he's talking about from a draft standpoint. I just like, okay, like that's just a weird stance. That's a weird hill to die on, in my opinion. Like, again, we can certainly be critical of some of the moves. But again, I promise I wasn't going to rant about it today, so I'll leave it at that. And so what was interesting, and one of the things that Dimitroff said, was sort of this mindset that because the Falcons don't plan on picking this high ever again, why not take advantage of it by taking a quarterback and secure the long-term position for that position for the long term. And what's interesting about that is that's the exact same mindset that I heard from the Pittsburgh Steelers many, many years ago, back in 2004, when they selected Ben Roethlisberger with the 11th overall pick. And that was notable because even though that's not as high as the 4th overall pick, but for basically the 10, 15 years prior to that, the Steelers, by and large, were not picking that high during the Bill Cowher years. I think they did have a top 10 pick 4 years earlier when they took Plaxico Burress. But then thereafter and before, it was rare for the Steelers to be picking in the top 10 and let alone the top 15. And so it's notable to me that the Steelers took that approach and said, like, we're definitely going to land, you know. And at that time, you know, that was the Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger draft. And a lot of people thought Phillip Rivers would be the Steelers pick with that 11th overall pick. But then the Chargers threw that curveball by, you know, taking Eli Manning and then trading him to the Giants, who then took Phillip Rivers. It was a whole thing. But, you know, it's notable, but it's the same mentality. And I think it's interesting that to get that perspective from Thomas Dimitroff. And we'll see if this current regime has that same mentality, you know. And you can have the mindset of like, oh, we're not going to be picking this high again. And certainly once the actual games start to be played on the football field, it may not necessarily be as true as you envisioned it, where it's like, oh yeah, you are going to be picking this high because your football team's not that good. But at least if you have the mindset as an organization, it does make some sense to take advantage of this opportunity, this very unique opportunity where you pick fourth overall and what is by and large, at least prior to the rise of Mac Jones, was considered a four quarterback draft by a lot of people, but now is considered a five quarterback draft, which is even better for the Falcons because now they have options, right? They're not stuck taking the worst quarterback at that big four. They can take the second worst, I guess, if you want to put it that way. Although that's not a fair way to put it because we know that NFL teams aren't great at evaluating quarterbacks. So just because a guy went earlier than another guy doesn't mean that he's better than the guy that went after him, as anybody who's paid attention to drafts, not only from the last 5 years especially, but really any point in time will certainly attest to. So I think that's interesting. I think the other interesting tidbit that Thomas DeMichel talked about was that he seems to prefer Justin Fields over some of the other options, at least the three options presented to him by Rich Eisen in terms of Fields, Lance, and Jones. And that's notable to me because you see a lot of buzz and a lot of reports and a lot of rumors that say that NFL teams aren't as in love with Justin Fields as it seems like draft Twitter or the media is, et cetera. And it's just notable that, you know, Dimitroff seems to be bucking the trend. And he also mentioned sort of the local connection, some of the things I talked about earlier in today's episode. So it's notable to me that it seems like he doesn't seem to care. Now, does that mean that what people are saying, the NFL teams by and large aren't as high? No, it just may be that Thomas Dimitroff's the one exception and the Falcons as an organization may be part of that quote unquote groupthink that thinks Justin Fields is the fifth best quarterback in this draft class, or may be, you know, like Dimitroff, the exception. Maybe there's a more notable contingent of NFL decision makers that believe Justin Fields is the truth. I certainly think, as far as the consensus goes from the people that I know that aren't necessarily involved with NFL teams or, you know, in major media, seem to think Justin Fields is the second best quarterback in this draft after Trevor Lawrence. So, it, you know, seemingly, I would guess that Dimitroff is sort of in a similar boat. So maybe that opinion isn't as sort of foreign, isn't as sort of uncommon among NFL circles as we have been led to believe. So we'll get more into Justin Fields on tomorrow's episode with Mark Schofield as we continue part two of our quarterback breakdown. We'll talk about Trey Lance as well as sort of the next tier of quarterbacks. Who's going to be QB6? And Mark will give his thoughts on that. And because Mark covers the Patriots, we'll talk a little bit about whether or not the Patriots, when, you know, mentioning what Ian Rappaport was talking about, whether the Patriots are going to be a team that's going to go up. And Ian seemed to be a little skeptical of that. But, you know, I know Mark is certainly an advocate of that. And we'll get into the viability of whether or not the Falcons and Patriots could do a deal, because even though I'm skeptical of the Falcons' potential to trade back, you know, if they're going to do a deal with any team, it does seem like the Patriots, in my opinion, are probably the most likely candidate. Although you hear rumors about Denver, you hear rumors about Washington. I mean, you know, there's been recent rumors about Dallas wanting to come up, not for a quarterback because they got Dak Prescott, but for Kyle Pitts, the tight end. Although if you listen to what Ian Rappaport said with Rich Eisen, he kind of threw cold water on that sort of report and that sort of rumor. But again, definitely go check out the full episodes to get the full context of what those guys were saying. But some interesting tidbits, again, nothing that we haven't heard before, but certainly given that, you know, I think Thomas Dimitroff, especially his opinion, given that he was just working in the NFL 6 months ago, he's very familiar with this organization, with their personnel, with their front office, with their ownership, or whatever the case may be. His opinion, I think, is a little bit more relevant than, say, Mike Tannenbaum, who, you know, when was the last time Mike Tannenbaum was a decision maker in the NFL? 7 years ago, certainly more than Bill Polian. When was the last time he was a decision making a decade ago, or who, Charlie Casserly? When was that? 15 years ago when Charlie Casserly was making decisions. So when you hear these former general managers on the various networks talking about what the Falcons should or what they would do in the shoes, you know, you listen, but you can kind of take it with a grain of salt. I would not take Thomas Dimitroff's opinion with a grain of salt, even though I know he is not necessarily as popular with Falcon fans currently. And again, this is not me sitting here trying to be like, oh, Thomas Dimitroff was an amazing general manager. I just think sort of the revisionist history about like how awful a general manager he is, simply because the team wasn't very good these past couple of years. And it's just, you know, again, I'm not going to go on the rant. This is my last statement. It's just, I just noticed this trend when the team is winning, you don't really care. You're not nitpicking. You're not scrutinizing his drafts when the team is, you know, winning 11 games. But the minute they start losing games, it's like, oh God, every single pick, one of these picks that didn't turn out to be a success is doomed the Falcons to imminent failure because, he whiffed on Isaiah Oliver, and clearly he's an incompetent general manager because he had the audacity to not hit on every second or third or fourth or fifth round or top 10 pick ever, when it's like that happens with everybody. But anyway, I'll let it go. We'll leave that rant to a future date. So again, check out tomorrow's episode of Lockdown Falcons with Mark Schofield, part 2 of our quarterback breakdown, talking with Justin Fields and Trey Lance, as well as other topics. And if you have any feedback that you want to provide on anything I talked about on today's episode, anything you heard Ian Rappaport or Thomas Dimitroff say, or anything else you've heard on a Rich Eisen show, we can be Locked On Rich Eisen, at least for a day, on the email address. You can send that email to lockdownfalcons@mail.com. Appreciate it, guys. Till then.